Hello and welcome to Hot Issues of the Week, a weekly feature covering the major news headlines of the past week in Korea. I'm Jim Bully, thank you for tuning in. Confirmation hearings are held for President Moon Jae-in's cabinet minister and prime minister nominees. The top diplomats from South Korea, the US and Japan hold trilateral talks to discuss North Korea policy. And KDCA Commissioner Chung Eun-kyung admits COVID-19 could become endemic. These are the week's hot issues. Stay tuned. Confirmation hearings were held for President Moon Jae-in's choice for new cabinet minister, as well as Prime Minister nominee Kim Boo-geum earlier in the week. The PM nominee pledged no more disappointment in the government's housing policies, seeking to win back the hearts of the public who withdrew their support from the ruling camp in last month's by-elections. The opposition said Kim could have been involved with a controversial hedge fund scandal. Bae-ju-yeon has more.
Opposition lawmakers scrutinized President Moon Jae-in's choice for his last prime minister, pressing him to explain how he's going to fix the failed policies of the government from the last 4 years. At his confirmation hearing on Thursday, nominee Kim Boo-geum pledged to contain skyrocketing housing prices, a key factor that led to the ruling party's defeat in last month's mayoral by-elections.
I do understand that the public has been greatly disappointed by the real estate policies and the unethical conduct of public officials. The public shall not be disappointed anymore. I will thoroughly implement the strict anti-speculation measures that came after the LH controversy in March. While maintaining the housing price stabilization policies, I will make sure that there will be no problem for non-speculative actual home buyers in purchasing properties.
Lawmakers are also pressing the nominee to shed light on allegations that his daughter and son-in-law enjoyed unfair terms in holding an investment account, which the controversial Lime Asset Management is suspected to have offered to them in a possible lobbying attempt. Kim said his daughter was only a victim to the Ponzi scheme by the now-defunct hedge fund.
The subject of the economic activity in question here is my son-in-law. I think I am being framed, as the discussion is phrased to focus on the family of nominee Kim's daughter. If I evaded laws and took advantage of my power, how would I have been able to come this far? I believe that I was able to come this far as I upheld principles in my life.
President Moon's nomination of Kim and five other cabinet ministers came after voters chose main opposition People Power Party candidates for the mayors of Seoul and the nation's second-largest city of Busan in last month's by-elections. Moon apparently sought to find new cabinet ministers who can boost his approval ratings through the end of his term next May. But with nominees exposed to the suspicious eyes of the public, they are already off to a rough start. Appointing a prime minister requires consent by the National Assembly, which is currently dominated by the ruling Democratic Party. Hyejun, KBS World Radio News.
President Moon Jae-in will make a special public address on Monday to mark the passage of 4 of his 5 years in office. Presidential spokesperson Park Kyung-mi said in a media briefing on Friday that Moon will look back on his presidency during the speech, set to begin at 11 a.m. He will also present his key policy directives for the final year of his single term. The address, slated to be 20 minutes long, is expected to include his plans on how to overcome the COVID-19 pandemic, achieve economic recovery, and make the country an inclusive first mover. Attention will be paid to whether Moon will disclose measures for resuming inter-Korean dialogue, as well as talks between the US and North Korea ahead of his first summit with US President Joe Biden on May 21st.
You're now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
The top diplomats from South Korea, the US and Japan held trilateral talks on the sidelines of a Group of Seven ministerial meeting in London, where they agreed to enhance coordination on the peace process involving North Korea. Seoul and Tokyo then held a separate bilateral meeting where the ministers confirmed their differences on historical disputes and Japan's planned radioactive water release into the sea. Park Chung-ong reports.
South Korea's foreign minister, Chung Yi-yong, on Wednesday agreed with his U.S. and Japanese counterparts to enhance coordination on Washington's new North Korea policy. The agreement between Chung, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Japanese Foreign Minister Toshimitsu Motegi came on the sidelines of the Group of Seven Foreign and Development Ministers meeting in London. Blinken outlined the new U.S. policy direction to his counterparts, and the three sides decided to continue close consultations on its enforcement. The South Korean Foreign Ministry said the nations decided to continue their trilateral cooperation to achieve complete denuclearization and the establishment of lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula. Chung also held separate talks with Motegi, the first senior-level diplomatic meeting between the two countries since Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga took office last September. Motegi reiterated Tokyo's position on South Korean court rulings on Japan's wartime forced labor and sex slavery. He stressed that they violate international laws, since compensation was settled through bilateral agreements in 1965 and 2015. Chung emphasized that historical disputes can't be resolved unless Japan owns up to accurate accounts of its past. He also delivered Seoul's opposition to Tokyo's planned release of radioactive water from the Fukushima nuclear plant into the ocean, citing environmental concerns. Motegi, in response, expressed concerns over such criticism from Seoul. Despite confirming their differences, Seoul and Tokyo agreed on the need to jointly seek ways to develop future-oriented relations for peace and prosperity in Northeast Asia and around the world. Park Jong-hong, KBS World Radio News.
Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency Commissioner Chung Eun-kyung has admitted the possibility COVID-19 could become endemic. In an online media briefing on Thursday, Chung said that the virus may not be an infectious disease that can be rooted out with just one or two vaccinations, as in the case of smallpox and polio, but one that can break out every year, at least for the time being. She said COVID-19 can continue creating variants that cause sporadic waves of infections. Even if the government successfully keeps it under control, the KDCA chief said, infections and variants overseas could pose continuous risks to the country. South Korea posted a current account surplus for the 11th consecutive month in March on the back of a recovery in exports despite the COVID-19 pandemic. According to tentative data from the Bank of Korea on Friday, the country's current account surplus reached $70.82 billion US dollars in March, up $1.88 billion from a year earlier. The current account has been in the black for 11 straight months since the country logged a deficit of $3.33 billion in April of last year. The current account surplus came to $22.8 billion in the first quarter, up 76.5% from a year earlier. That's all for Hot Issues this week. Thanks for staying with us. Join us again next week for more hot topics and issues making news in Korea. I'm Jim Bully, signing off.